It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Department of Natural Resources is reminding outdoor enthusiasts to get state park admission stickers and trail passes as it prepares for the busier spring and summer seasons. Call in with questions and comments about state parks. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Missy Van Landit is Recreation Partnerships Section Chief for the DNR. Missy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's first touch down on weather, which can be really up and down. You know, this time of year, there were ice storm warnings yesterday. How should people prepare for visiting state parks in the early days of spring?
Yeah, absolutely. On our webpage, we actually have all of our properties and we have property notifications. And so if there are properties that are closed due to damage, either from flooding or trees down from the ice, they'll be notified on that webpage. So you can check that out. But I think just having that flexibility when you're going to a property and realizing you might be in the southern part of the state and have a completely different experience than you would in the northern part of the state, and that ice is likely now at this point in the year, especially as we're still dipping below freezing in the morning and warming up in the afternoons. And so being prepared if you're out on the trails for ice, but we have had actually more winter damage than we have had in quite a few years. So we typically prepare for spring flooding and for storm damage, which always seems to happen in June. But we did actually have, due to the heavy snow, we've had a lot of damage, especially on our linear trails, that primarily resulting from that ice you mentioned, but also from just really heavy, wet snow that we've been having this winter and a lot of downed trees.
And zooming in here on Willow River and Kinnickinnick State Parks, both, I think, closed or partially closed due to storm damage. What is going on there?
Yeah, they both actually closed this last weekend when that little, you know, that central belt of
I was caught in it. Yes.
I got a ton of snow, a ton of very depressing snow on April 1st. And so, again, very wet, heavy snow. They had a lot of downed trees. Willow and Kinney were both closed for a couple of days. Willow River did open up their primary road after a couple of days, and I think that they're both open now, but they do have a lot of closed areas because there's so many miles of trail that the staff have to go and inspect and make sure that it's safe and remove any hazards.
How do those inspections work? I mean, how do you sweep through a state park and make sure that it is ready for visitors?
Well, we actually do twice a year designated use inspections. So we have our designated use areas on all the properties, and the staff, you know, spend a ton of time going through those areas and making sure that, you know, there aren't any significant hazards like hazardous trees that might fall over or things like that. And so they are used to doing that typically in the spring and then before winter. But when we have events like this, they go through, you know, inch by inch of all of our trails and campgrounds and roads and all of those primary use areas with a fine tooth comb, making sure that they're safe for users before they're opened back up.
Wow. And that's a lot of miles of trails to really make sure are okay. I mean, that's a big lift.
It is, you know, and especially when you're talking thousands of miles of trail across
yes.
the state when it comes to our linear trails. But we're really lucky to have cooperative partners. We have a lot of county cooperative partners. And so that's additional resources for us. In addition to them checking county properties, they're also checking some of our state linear trails. During the winter, the Snowmobile Club, especially the groomers and the volunteers for snowmobile clubs, would give us an idea of where there might be damage along the snowmobile trails. The Ice Age Trail Alliance chapter volunteers also let us know if they're seeing damage on Ice Age trail segments. So while it's a huge lift on the property staff, we do have a lot of partners across the state that also help with that.
Just dipping in here to volunteers, because you did have that portal system that launched about a year ago to really have a one-stop shop for volunteer opportunities to help parks run smoothly. How has that been going?
That's been going great. We continue to see an increase in volunteer opportunities that the properties are providing, as well as seeing more and more volunteers get registered on that site. So if you go to dnr.wi.gov and type in volunteer or type in parks volunteer, it'll bring you to that portal. And, you know, we really took a huge dip in volunteers over the pandemic. And so we're starting to climb out of that and having our volunteer impact system available where people can see volunteer opportunities either recurring, like a campground host, or they can see one-time volunteer opportunities, maybe for an event or to get out for Work Play Earth Day. Those are all listed on there and also listed on our events page on the DNR website, too. So it's been really helpful. You know, we rely on volunteers across the state to help support the visitors that come to our properties in our nature centers, our visitor centers, in our campgrounds. And so having that portal has helped us to start to climb out of that deficit that we had during the pandemic and start to really increase our volunteer hours again.
Talking about state parks with Missy Van Landit at the State Department of Natural Resources, you can join in with your questions and what is on your agenda for state parks in the spring and summer months to come. 800-642-1234 to call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Missy, last month there was the Wisconsin Policy Forum report that our state is one of the lowest spending in America for its state park system. And how does that impact you and the DNR in prioritizing where to spend the funding?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we're one of the only two states in the entire country that are self-funded operationally. And so that's why it's incredibly important for folks to buy their trail passes and admission passes and to camp. And so operationally, and that study wasn't necessarily referring to that, they're referring more to the capital development side. But, you know, we're excited to share that we have requested through the governor's budget more capital development funding than we have in the last probably 15 years, with well over 100 million, pushing about 120 million just for the state park system alone. And so we're really hopeful that that will make it through the budget process and be passed through the legislature that will really provide some of those repairs and upgrades to the amenities that people expect when they visit a state park system.
You know, inflation has really been hitting families hard. Have fees gone up or stickers gone up? Which ones and by how much?
They have not, actually. They have not gone up. Our annual admission pass is still $28 and our trail pass is $25. A few years ago, it did go up. I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, it went up for the first time in over 10 years. But yeah, it's a really economical way to spend your time. You know, when you think about it, $28 gets you into every state park and public land opportunity that it requires, that admission pass for the entire calendar year. And you can buy those passes online now. Our trail passes are $25 for those 16 and older that are biking or horseback riding, that are also cross-country skiing. So again, a really economical way to enjoy the outdoors.
Defying inflation. Okay, let's take a call now. Nick in Crandon. Nick, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So we know that there's rock climbing available at various state parks, mostly in southern and western Wisconsin. Wondering what that looks like in the northern part of the state, which really hasn't been explored too much from a climber's perspective. Is that being looked at by the state?
You know, that's a really good question. We have actually added some notes about climbing and scampering and bouldering into the most recently passed and approved Rib Mountain State Park plan. So that plan is not final. That should be final here really soon. But the Natural Resources Board did pass that plan in December, and it included some climbing. So not super far north, but it always is something that we look at as we're doing our ecological landscape master plans. We're looking at all different types of climbing and different recreation opportunities. So that's a really good question. We do have a lot of northern ecological plans in the works right now, and we're looking at all of those different opportunities, and especially those that are more relevant for today than they were maybe 25 years ago when the plan was last done.
Nick, where do you and your friends get out for rock climbing? Where do you go most?
Well, I'm actually part of the Wisconsin Climbers Association. We do have a lot of climbers, you know, in the southern part of the state. Typically, when I go in the northern part, I end up going to the UP just because there's not too many places that have been explored. I know there's a few places that are mentioned on various social media platforms, such as Rib Mountain State Park and even High Cliff State Park, which is over kind of, you know, on the shores of Lake Winnebago. But there's other places that are more of the bouldering, which is the shorter climbs, typically mm-hmm. done without ropes and that. And those are kind of more scattered throughout northern Wisconsin. It seems like the glaciers have kind of cut off our mountains and just left big 20-foot boulders scattered throughout the northern part of the state. So those ones provide kind of good access for climbers and people who like to recreate, but they're, like I said, they're really tough to kind of pin
sure.
down.
Yes.
And wondering what the state would look at in that.
Yes. Well, Nick, point taken, and really appreciate you calling in with that. Missy Van Landit is here, Recreation Partnerships Section Chief at the DNR, as we explore outdoor recreation and scenic areas. Join in with your questions about state parks by calling 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore Wisconsin state parks, trails, recreation area offerings with tips for planning spring and summer visits. Call in with your questions about all things state parks, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. The DNR's Missy Van Landit is here, Recreation Partnerships Section Chief. Let's go to Erin now in Middleton. Erin, hi. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to say that we love the Wisconsin State Parks, and we've utilized them from far up north in the Apostle Island area to in the southern part of the state. But we just noticed over the last several years that there have been fewer attendance, and so I think some fees are not being collected when they could be. And, you know, and some of the maintenance, I think, has been affected by perhaps less funding or reduced funding during probably when Governor Walker came into office and they cut some of the funding. That's my concern. We love the parks and we want to see them maintained, and we want to make sure that the fees are being collected as they should be, and more projects to keep improving them.
Erin, thank you so much. True lover of state parks there. Our maintenance crew, is Missy able to keep up with the visitors and checking passes?
You know, that's another good question from Erin. Lots of good questions today. Lots of good calls. You know, we have had issues with our hiring just like everyone else has. And so, it's probably a good time for me to plug that we are hiring for our summer seasonal staff. But they're able to keep up in general with meeting the needs of the visitors, absolutely. And they work really hard all summer and to make sure that that happens. I will say that our fee collection, you know, more on that side has been, you know, we have a lot of opportunities for that. Not only do we have folks at different times, you know, what the office hours vary from property to property, but we do have our opportunities for self-pay stations on the properties. But during the pandemic, when we added the online opportunity to purchase admission passes, and also for folks to do all of their camping reservations online without checking in, that has really significantly increased the amount of revenue that we're able to capture. So while it may seem like folks are not there to greet you at the window, they're probably out doing other things on the property, but a lot of people have really jumped on that, you know, online bandwagon of purchasing their passes. So that's been really good for us. But when it comes to, you know, continually seeing an increase in visitorship across the state, we are always in more need of staff, especially seasonal staff, to help serve those customers. You may see things where a bathroom might be cleaned every other day instead of every day, or we might mow every 10 days instead of every 7, or things like that at different properties, just to make sure that we're still able to provide, you know, safe access for all of our visitors and meet their needs. But we are hiring. You can go to WISC Jobs and search out all of those seasonal opportunities. It's not just for high school and college students. We do have a lot of folks that may have retired or teachers or stay-at-home parents that jump in there and work either part-time or full-time across the summer. So lots of opportunities out there across the state at all of our properties.
Erin, thanks for the call. Let's bring in Mark now in Jackson. Mark, hi.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, go ahead.
I have a question about if there's going to become any changes for using e-bikes on the Trail Pass system. Right now, if you read the fine print, e-bikes are not allowed, and they post signs saying no motorized vehicles. I just wonder if there'd be any consideration as to the type of e-bike that might be allowed. I use a pedal assist bike, so it's only helping me when I pedal, and it gives me more opportunities to go farther and stay out longer, but I'm not necessarily going any faster than somebody on a regular bike. I understand the pub motor type of e-bike that is a throttle, and it's, you know, basically an electric motorcycle with pedals. So I just wondered if there's any opportunities to maybe take another look at that.
Mark, thank you so much. Missy.
Yeah, when we're looking at different policy changes and things like that, we do continue to look at, you know, are we keeping up with the manufacturing that's happening out there? And do we need to change any policy to accommodate that? So that's kind of an ongoing thing that we do. I would say, though, Mark, for your question about where you can ride e-bikes, there is quite a bit of information on our webpage about where you can do that and what the requirements of that e-bike need to meet in order to be on those trails. So there might be a lot more out there than maybe what you're thinking. And I know that the signs that say no motorized vehicles may feel like you are also being excluded on an e-bike, but I think that's more for ATV, UTV, and actual motor vehicles. And so check out our webpage. I'm not certainly an expert and don't have it at my fingertips at the moment of all the locations, but they are on our webpage.
Mark, thank you for the calls. We talk about state parks with the DNR Recreation Partnerships Section Chief. Missy Van Landit is here. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Eugene in Viola. Eugene, hi.
Well, good morning. I would like to recommend the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, a bubble of parge. It's 8,500 acres.
What do you love about the reserve?
Walking trail and camping and artesian wells. It's plain beautiful in the summertime. If you go up to Ontario, you can canoe that river.
Eugene, how long have you been going there?
Probably a month or so. When the river goes down. In the last 2 weeks in May and the first 2 weeks in June, this area is just plain beautiful when it starts turning green.
Oh, Eugene, loving the change of seasons. Missy, what do you think there? The Kickapoo Valley Reserve?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kickapoo Valley Reserve is not actually a state property, but it is open to the public. It's actually adjacent to Wildcat Mountain State Park. And so we do have a lot of visitors that visit both. And the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, in conjunction with Wildcat Mountain State Park, are actually in the process of applying for additional dark sky designation in that part of the state. So really excited. There's a lot of folks that come to that area, like Eugene said, to paddle the Kickapoo, which is a wonderful experience. I would definitely echo that. But also horseback riding is really popular there, both at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve and at Wildcat Mountain State Park. So I would definitely echo what Eugene is saying. There's a lot of really great opportunity there, especially in the spring.
What about birding in the spring in state parks? What can you tell us?
Well, get outside and go now, because, you know, I know that for me in the southern part of the state, I'm in Middleton, I think where Erin is from, but I've had the robins knocking on my windows now for a few weeks, luckily, very confused by the snow, but still around. We've seen the sandhill cranes start to come back. The best place, and I'm not a birding expert, but my kids love watching the birds, and so we tend to get out purposefully this time of year, especially when it comes to participating in the Natural Resources Foundation Birdathon, which you can check out on their webpage. But that Mississippi Valley, Mississippi River Valley is a great place. You know, the river valleys in general are like a highway for migratory birds. And so one of the recommendations that I have is to really get out to some of those Mississippi River Valley or Wisconsin River Valley, Trempealeau River, some of St. Croix River, all of those big river valleys, and do some hiking along there, especially when you can get up to higher elevations, like at Perot State Park on Brady's Bluff Trail, you can actually really get this time of year start to get a great glimpse of the migratory birds heading north for the season.
Is bird watching one of those things you can check off if on your website when you're looking for different amenities? I can't remember.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Okay. We do, yeah, on our natural conservation webpage there, it's same with the DNR. You can check out more resources for birding. There's just, we do some monitoring, you know, there's citizen monitoring, sure, for birds and mm-hmm. things like that. So it's one of those things where I think you see the memes and you're like, one day I was, you know, going out for dinner at 10 o'clock and the next day I'm a bird watcher. So I'm there in the bird watcher category in my state of life right now. So I love it.
DNR's Recreation Partnerships Section Chief, Missy Van Landit. You can join in 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore state parks. And a shout out to Stan and DePere. On a recent caller-only program, Stan requesting we cover anything but politics and suggested this focus on state park gems. Stan told us they do a little bit of everything: boating, fishing, camping, bird watching at their favorite ones.
Oh, I love Peninsula State Park up in Door County. I love the state parks out by Bayfield and the Apostle Islands. And, of course, Devil's Lake State Park. So those are my three favorites.
Call in with your favorites and questions about state parks, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. The DNR's Missy Van Landit, Recreation Partnerships Chief, is with us. Let's go to John now in Milwaukee. John, you have a question.
Sure. So I'm a veteran. I'm also a master arborist and an ecologist. So two questions. Then I'll take it off air. What's the status of veterans permits at the state parks? And are you considering regulating, permitting the practice of, I forget the word, where people
foraging.
Go out and foraging.
Forage.
Yes, thank you. So, yep, those are my two questions. Thank you.
John, thank you. Missy.
Wow, John, you asked a couple of questions that I don't know the answers to. So, more with state parks, I'm not on the side of either foraging or of, you know, hunting, fishing, trapping, you know, licensing and permitting. I can tell you if you go to our admissions page on DNR for parks, it will tell you, you know, the days that we do have free opportunities and how veterans can get passes as well. So that information's on our webpage. As far as hunting, fishing, trapping, you know, that's something I'm not certainly an expert in. I can bring that up to the folks that will deal with that. And as far as foraging, you know, that's a really good point as well. Those policies and restrictions and what you need for permits and things are also on our webpage. I'm certainly not an expert in that, but I do know that our folks in law enforcement are very well keyed into when folks need a permit and when they don't, and helping to enforce that. And our parks folks, our parks property folks, do also engage with our law enforcement staff if they do and have any idea that someone may be foraging illegally.
John, thank you so much, and thank you for your service. Carla now in Fort Atkinson. Carla, go ahead.
Hi. So our company for Christmas this year gave us all state park stickers as a Christmas gift.
Oh,
and
cool.
As a photographer, that was like the most awesome gift ever, and people were really excited to get it. Now we know, you know, on the weekends, it's a free event that we can do with our families.
Oh, so where have you gone, Carla, with that pass?
Currently, I haven't due to weather, but I am getting out next weekend.
Where are you going?
You know, southern Wisconsin, I don't know. I'm just going to hit the road, and if there's a state park, I'm pulling in.
Oh, that's awesome. Missy, some suggestions.
Wow, southern Wisconsin. You know, there, people don't realize that we have a lot of waterfalls in southern Wisconsin. They always think about northern Wisconsin. So I would definitely check out Governor Dodge or Wyalusing. Wyalusing, you can kind of you know, get more for bang for your buck because you get great views of the rivers. You can see those migratory birds and you can do some excellent hiking where you'll start to see some of the spring ephemerals and some of the waterfalls. So I would highly recommend Wyalusing.
You know, what about spring flowers? You had mentioned Perot State Park, and there have been things, you know, like saying there it's carpeted with jeweled shooting star wildflowers in springtime. What can you say there about finding flowers?
Wow. You know, it's such a great time. And, you know, I think we're a little bit late on spring this year. So everybody who's listening today can make some plans to get out there as we're just seeing things starting to poke through. But we have a number of our properties that do have a lot of native prairie areas. The southern unit of the Kettle Moraine has a lot of, I think, 8 or 9 embedded state natural areas. And so our state natural areas are a great place to see all of those spring ephemerals. So the Kettle Moraine southern unit is a wonderful place. One of my favorites to go in the spring is actually to Lakeshore State Park in Milwaukee. They work with a lot of volunteers, including UWM and a lot of Milwaukee residents, to maintain tons of prairies at that property. And while they're gorgeous all year long, when the spring ephemerals come up, they're absolutely beautiful. So we also have a number of pollinator gardens that we've been working on across the state to try to increase the pollinators migrating to Wisconsin. So a couple of other awesome properties to check out spring ephemerals in those pollinator gardens would be Haven Woods in Milwaukee as well, High Cliff State Park, Lake Wissota, Willow River, and Hartman Creek.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. You know, as we get out there, accessibility comes up. Governor Evers, in his budget plan, would include nearly $4 million to build accessibility improvements for visitors with disabilities. Where do state parks need accessibility improvements the most?
You know, part of a big part of it is actually just creating access. So it's one thing to have like an accessible playground or accessible fishing pier, but we need to create access to those elements. And so creating accessible walkways and parking is a big part of this, creating more opportunities. So looking at our properties and seeing where if someone does have uses a mobility device and they do need more accessible opportunities, really looking at not only is there a fishing pier, but is there a trail? Is there an accessible cabin? Is there an accessible nature center? And so making those improvements so that someone that does have a mobility impairment or does use a mobility device can come out to our properties and actually have a full experience and not just have one thing. And so in addition to that infrastructure, there was also a budget proposal on the operating side to not only increase and improve that infrastructure, but also to add more equipment. And so we're working internally with some of our funding through our facilities and lands program to actually purchase adaptable equipment as well. So that might be bikes, that might be skis.
Beach wheelchairs,
kayaks. And then putting in the infrastructure like a universal kayak launch, universal picnic tables and fire rings. So we have been making strides towards increasing our accessible opportunities for years now. We still have a long way to go. But, you know, the Eagle Tower at Peninsula State Park was a really great example of incredible infrastructure that we did a couple of years ago. The governor has also proposed that the Pottawatomie State Park Tower be redeveloped and restored with accessible opportunities. And so that is really at the forefront. And Kate, you asked at the top of the hour there about the Find a Park page and what you can search on there. And accessible opportunities is one that you can search on there. And we're really excited about the budget proposals that are in for both infrastructure and equipment. And we really hope that those make it through the process because that's some of the most rewarding and fun stuff that we get to do is making sure that our outdoors and our recreation opportunities and our natural resources are accessible for everyone, regardless of their ability.
Talking about state parks with Missy Van Landit at the State Department of Natural Resources. And a quick note here, John from our production team, the DNR website says, admission fee waivers are available to former prisoners of war and veterans with disabilities. And on Veterans Day and the 3-day Memorial Day weekend, service members are eligible for a vehicle admission exemption. You can join in with your comments about state parks, your questions about them. Maybe you're putting an itinerary together for the coming months. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Missy, Ryan from Janesville says that they camp a lot. And Ryan says you can book a site 11 months in advance and sites get booked up really fast. I would venture you've heard this before. But then people can cancel 48 hours before the reservation and get a refund. Ryan is wondering if the park system would change this to discourage people from booking so far in advance and then canceling at the last minute.
You know, we're continually making changes to our reservation system. You know, over the past several years, we've had issues where folks would book 11 months in advance and then they would just continue to slide their reservation, which became a problem in which others couldn't then get reservations. So we've been able to correct that. And we're continuing to see where we have issues in our reservation system, and we make updates and upgrades every year. And so we continue to address that. But we are, you know, we are seeing more and more people that are able to get out and get onto those properties. You know, of course, I always say if you want Devil's Lake or Peninsula on a Saturday in July with an electric site, that might be hard to do. But we do have a lot of opportunities still available during the week on some of those non-electric sites. And I think we're seeing more and more people that, while we do have people that have the big rigs, the pop-up campers or the pull behinds and fifth wheels, we are seeing more and more people that are getting out and doing some of that rustic camping in a tent or camping out of the back of their car on a campsite and doing those kind of things. So there still are a lot of opportunities out there to check out. And we're hoping that we continue to make those changes. We also do have in the our budget proposal through the governor's budget to increase the electrical cap. We have a 35% electrical cap right now, and to add additional camp, electrified campsites to the state park system. So
can you explain again, that a little further on that cap, what that means?
Sure. So of our total number of campsites, only 35% can have electrical service. Oh. And so we're one of the only states in the nation, actually, that has that electrical cap. And so we do have a budget proposal in through the governor's budget to raise that to 40%. So that would allow us to electrify additional sites across the system.
Would that require more infrastructure for the DNR at the parks if you raise that cap?
Yes. So what we would do would we would take the existing non-electric sites, mm-hmm. some of those that have the lowest occupancy, but at properties in which the electrical sites have highest occupancy, and we would put electrical pedestals in at those sites. We would also make sure that those sites did have the ability to take, you know, more of the camping rigs that would require the electrical, like the pull behinds or fifth wheels. So some of it is improving the driveway access and then putting in the electrical infrastructure. And we did that the last time, it was maybe the 15-17 budget, maybe the 13-15, I just can't remember, was the last time that the cap was raised from 30% to 35%. And then we did spend funds at that point to increase our electrical or to add more mm-hmm. electric sites at our properties.
The DNR is Missy Van Landit, our guide to state parks and the thousands of miles of trails to check out at all corners of the state. Join in with your questions, your comments about a state park you go to. Maybe it's a hidden gem. Join the conversation any point, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore the Wisconsin State Park system, offering all different types of experiences in nature. Jessica emailed, has a recommendation. Jessica says they're excited to start the camping season off the first weekend of May at Point Beach State Forest in Two Rivers. And that's along the shores of Lake Michigan. Jessica plans on mountain biking and hiking the Ice Age Trail and says the campsites are beautiful. You're right on Lake Michigan. It's become their favorite state property. You can join the conversation with your favorites, your questions, 800-642-1234. The DNR's Missy Van Landit, Recreation Partnerships Section Chief, is here. Missy, what do you make of Jessica's itinerary?
Oh, I love Point Beach. We actually frequent Point Beach usually around the 4th of July. So I think she's got great ideas to hike the Ice Age Trail, to bike the Raleigh's Point Trail, to hang out on the beach. And she's right, the campsites are beautiful. There's also adjacent to the property is a Coast Guard active lighthouse that service members can actually stay in. So it's a wonderful place. I always say it's a great hidden gem because there's no cell service. So if you really want to disappear a little bit, Point Beach is the place to do it. But the Raleigh's Point Bike Trail will take you right into Two Rivers. So it's a wonderful place to check out any time of year.
Jessica, thanks so much for sharing the tip. Let's go to Seth now in Superior. Seth, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, yeah, I just want to make a comment about some of the services you guys offer at some of the state parks that me and my wife have gone to, such as Merrick and also Big Bay State Park on Madeline Island. We've noticed that, you know, we like remote camping and getting away from the crowds, but what's a nice feature is that once you pull up to those remote sites with your car, they've got carts ready to go, so that way you can throw all your gear into the cart and then just wheel it on over there. So kind of takes the hassle out of you know, just roughing it and backpacking all your stuff out there. So, and the nice thing about Merrick State Park too that we enjoyed was you know, you had sites right on the river, so we were able to throw the canoe right on the bank and not have to worry about, you know, hoofing everything in. So the carts were just a fantastic little option.
Well, Seth, thank you so much. That sounds convenient, Missy.
Yeah, you know, many people don't realize that while we do have thousands of campsites, I want to say about 6,500 campsites on state park and forest lands. We do have a wide variety. So it's not just that family camping, like Seth was saying. We actually do have a lot of rustic or quiet campsites, and we have boat-in only sites and hike-in only sites as well. So if you're looking for that quieter experience, we do have that across the state. And we rely on, you know, great users like Seth who use those carts, treat them well, and bring them back for the next person to use. So that is pretty common at some of those hike-in only campsites across the state.
Seth, do you have itineraries planned in the coming months where you're headed to state parks?
Yeah, I think this year we're going to try the Flambeau Flowage again and Willow Flowage. But yeah, we might try that and get our boat out there because we, you know, those remote sites are fantastic as well.
Thank you so much for the call. Well, Missy, it is time for Hidden Gems, which is your favorite part of the conversation. Are there lesser known areas that we should really check out that are especially beautiful during the spring?
Oh, you know, I love everywhere. But one of the places I love to point people to is that waterfalls are not just for fall color. And so I love to tell people to get up to Copper Falls State Park and Amnicon and Pattison State Parks in the far north, central and northwest part of the state. Those are some of my favorites. One of my favorite hikes to do in the southern part of the state in the spring is the Weeping Rock Trail at Blue Mound State Park. It's fed by some springs and by runoff, and so it's really a nice place where you get down into the valley. It's quiet. It's a short little hike, but lots of little waterfalls and the little creek that runs through there, thus the Weeping Rock. So I love checking that out at Blue Mound. You know, I really like to go anywhere. I think the thing to remind folks of, which is the same for winter, but just embrace the weather, embrace the mud, have fun outdoors, you know, bring your, you know, charged cell phone and your water bottle. We do need to remind folks that ticks are actually out despite the snow depth in the north. The ticks are out already in the south. So just be prepared, dress in layers, but there are so many great places to go. Those are just a few of my favorites, but I love to get over to the Kettle Moraine Southern Unit, especially hiking on the Ice Age Trail over there. Scuppernong Springs is one of my favorite locations at the Southern Unit, with lots of great trails that meander through the pine plantations. So those are a few of my hidden gems, but you know, I can find somewhere I love at every state park.
We're scribbling them down frantically here. I want to turn a moment to Pottawatomie State Park in Door County that you had mentioned earlier. And the tower had closed in 2017 with the decaying wood and the structural issues. What is the status of that project?
Sure. The project for a full restoration with an accessible ramp option is proposed in the governor's budget. So that is more of like a long-term solution, which would be fairly similar to Eagle Tower. And then most recently, the governor did allocate $500,000, $500,000 for immediate stabilization of the tower. So we'll be working with the Department of Administration to stabilize some of the wood, particularly at the bases, over the next few months so that it can get us through to when we do a full restoration in the coming couple of years.
The governor is also requesting nearly $8 million in the next two-year budget to reconstruct a dam in Pattison State Park in Douglas County. Why does the park need dam repairs?
Oh, that one's been hanging out there for a while. So in 2018, we had a federal disaster event up there, which gave damage to the dam. And so that dam needs to be replaced with one that not only meets the flow that passes through the dam, but also to meet all of the code requirements that a new dam must have. And so that's been a really big project. And if you remember a few years ago, we actually did something similar after damage to Willow River for that dam. So that one was about a little over $20 million. This one's only $8 million, so a little bit less. But dams are, you know, obviously required for safety. It doesn't create the falls at Pattison, but it helps to manage the watershed there. So we do need to replace that dam to fix it and make it code compliant.
Are there any other fixes that are a key priority for the DNR and in the park system now?
You know, trails have been a really big priority with several thousand miles of trails across the state that have culverts and bridges and infrastructure on those trails. Another proposal through the governor's budget is, I want to say, just close to about $35 million that will address trail infrastructure and trail bridges and surfacing. You know, trails are one of those things that are kind of the doorway to outdoor recreation. As we talked about earlier, for hiking, they don't require a trail pass. For biking, you do. But those, so many people out there use our trails as their first point of entry to recreation, but we haven't been able to keep up with the maintenance on those just due to funding over the years. And so we're really excited about the funding proposal for this year to put almost $35 million into trail infrastructure across the state.
Is there infrastructure with rails to trails, those types of trails? Do they need helping hands as well for those types of systems?
Yes, and that's primarily what I was referring to. I mean, we do have some that'll be on property, but most of that $35 million that's proposed in the budget would go towards those rail trails.
With a few moments left here, what about weekdays? What should we bear in mind, you know, to avoid the weekend rush?
You know, going anytime, you know, spring, you're generally not going to see a huge rush. I think we do have a couple 70-degree days in our forecast, so you might see a big rush at some of those more popular properties on a Saturday. But going during the week is a great time, and even diversifying the time of day that you go, checking out a sunrise during the spring or a sunset. There's so much to do. But if you do, you know, kind of like some of the other callers, want more of that quiet experience, going during the week is a great way to experience the property. But also, I think, you know, one of your callers who's just getting out with her Christmas gift, we have so many events coming up here in the spring that's a great way to get introduced to outdoor recreation in our state park system as well, is to participate in some of our upcoming events.
Missy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Missy Van Landit is Recreation Partnerships Section Chief at the DNR. We have a link to the state system website. You can find closings. You can find conditions for all the state park system's properties. That link is at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.